This is Susan Stocker interviewing Jackie, how do I say the name?
Burzio,
Jackie Burzio. It's the 14th of March 2022, and the place of interview is Arundel Museum, and the name of the project is Life. Sorry for the people who are doing that. Life during the pandemic. We had so many different starts to it. So, first of all, if I could just ask you to tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay.
And the services that you offer, voluntarily and otherwise, to Arundel.
Okay. I'm a mum of two twins. They're 12 years old. And I have a husband, a dog and a cat. I have a big garden that keeps me occupied. I also work 4 hours a week for the local co-op, and I'm not in store, but I actually liaise with communities, local communities around the said co-op. And recently I've got very involved with dementia, because as part of my community role with the co-op, I helped out another store and got involved with Sage House. That's a dementia support, which also includes covering the people in Arundel. I met Sage House Christmas 2018, helping them with a fundraiser. And I was absolutely bowled over by the difference they made to people who had dementia. Things that we take for granted, like going to the hairdressers. Some people with dementia go to the hairdressers, they look in the mirror and don't recognise who they're looking at. So in Sage House, they don't have mirrors. They have hairdressers that come in and voluntarily cut people's hair for free. And things like that really make you see what a difference you can make by just being a bit more in tune with what their needs are. So, coming back to my day job, I thought there's a lot of elderly people in Arundel, and were we dementia friendly? And as it happens, we're not. A lot of people have done training for dementia and believed, wrongly, that having done the training meant that the town was dementia friendly. It's actually just part of what you have to do to become dementia friendly. So, I had my task in place to make Arundel dementia friendly. 2018, I actually went out to the public and said, businesses, who would like to have more knowledge about making Arundel dementia friendly? And we got to the situation where our first meeting, we had 28 people here actually at the museum, and we had coffee, we had chats, we had people from Alzheimer's down, and the project was about how we could go ahead and make Arundel dementia friendly. We all know what happened in January. March, the pandemic came.
Yep, March the 20th.
And everything went on hold. It was really, we were looking to do something for people with dementia, and one of the things we thought about was a dementia cafe, because people with dementia is one thing, but their carers, I think, are the people that give a lot more. They don't have conversation, they don't have a slice of normality. So the idea was to create a dementia cafe. At that point, we didn't know where, when, how, money, all those things.
My next question was to ask, well, did you obviously found a venue, but did you liaise with the rest of the people in the town? How did you find the venue?
Well, that's what at the meeting we had in March, you must tell me to stop, Susan, when I go on a bit. Say stop.
I will. I've got my little list.
I'm so excited. There's so many things spill out. So, in the meeting in December of 2018, I met Nikki, who's the manager of the Lido.
Right.
And her enthusiasm was matching mine. We definitely wanted to do something together. Unlike me, she had the opportunity to be able to offer us a venue, because at that point, they were considering putting up a marquee for their own use. And it just so happened, with the aid of some money that I was able to raise to contribute towards raising, just putting this marquee up.
Can I ask you where the money came from?
The co-op firstly gave us some money, gave us £250 towards putting it up, and then we had to go out and talk to other people, such as the mayor, He was very supportive when we started and gave us funding. And then they had the ex-mayor's funding as well. So we were able to get some money from both sides because you need tables, chairs, tablecloths, all sorts of things to start. And of course, we had nothing. We didn't. All we had was our enthusiasm.
But so I know from people I know who go to your elevenses, as you ended up calling it, that it's not just for dementia people.
No, because what happened...
And their carers. So could you explain how that came about?
What happened is, as we said, everything went on hold. And we just didn't do a lot, really, apart from living on our dreams and hoping that one day we'd be able to do something. So in May last year, on Freedom Day, we were told that we could do something. And in May last year, there was an awful lot of people that were nervous about going out, nervous about mixing again, especially the elderly that hadn't been out for a period of time. So we decided that we'd open it up to everyone. So rather than be a dementia cafe, we started a community hub. And the lovely thing about it, it wasn't just for the elderly. Sometimes when people go to the Lido swimming, they would pop in and, what's going on here? And we'd say, hey, come in, have a cake, have a coffee, donations. We accept donations, please come in. And so we had an awful lot of people that just popped in, maybe just the once, maybe weekly, it depended on where they were, what they did and all that sort of thing.
So is there a cost involved to anybody, or do the grants cover it all?
No, the grants don't cover it all, but we are very much self-funding. So we do stalls when we can. We do a fundraiser raffle once a month, and everybody's very good at bringing things in. All the cakes are made by the volunteers, for which we have some 16.
How did you find your volunteers?
Mainly dog walking.
Dog walking?
Yeah, I'm a bit of a chatterer, as you might have noticed, and any opportunity I have to talk about elevenses, I do. This morning, I called a farmer this morning who's going to donate eggs because she's got 20 chickens, and she said, we've always got a lot of excess eggs. Would you like me to bring an egg? Whether she does or not, the thought is there. So that's what happens, is once you talk about it, I think it's infectious. And
I know
want
one
to
of
do
our
something.
Volunteers here at the museum, Sue Glenister, helps out with you as
she
well.
She does, absolutely. Sue's our cake monitor.
Lovely.
We get lots of lovely cakes, really. All the volunteers make cakes.
Isn't it?
It's absolutely amazing. And so when we opened on the 17th of May, we started off with 28 guests. And now we have in the region of 50 or 60 every Monday, rain or shine.
Did you have to advertise it anyway? Or word of mouth? How did it work to get people to come in?
It is word of mouth. The problem that we have is that because we're very accessible down this end, sometimes people up the other end don't always hear about us.
Yeah.
But then we have the consideration. At the time, we were very COVID friendly, so we were spacing people out a lot more than we do now. Mm. And so we had to be mindful of that.
I was particularly interested in how you managed to get people from what I call the other side of the A27, because it divides the town, doesn't it? So is that all word of mouth that
way as
well?
Yes, mainly. We have a couple of volunteers that come from that side.
Right.
But we also have people that have either come to the Lido, they might have gone swimming and seen us in there and then tell people. Recently, we've just started a community food table, because it was noticed that some of the guests that came to Elevenses often took cakes home, and that wasn't the problem taking them. It was the problem of you shouldn't eat cakes all the time. So we contacted Little Hampton Community Fridge, and they're also a cause that Arundel Co-op are helping. So I had a relationship with the lady that runs it, and she very kindly allows me to go down and fill my car up with goods and bring it back to a table at Elevenses, and then we're able to offer free cakes.
That's fantastic.
Bread, and we had an abundance of celery this morning.
It's really good. So I wonder, with all these lovely people you're meeting, whether there are any little anecdotes you'd be able to tell us about some of your visitors that come to you, how perhaps showing their appreciation, whatever, something like that.
Well, I have a list actually, but
go for it.
One that springs to mind at the moment is, we have a lovely lady called Sam. Now Sam was 80 probably 2-3 weeks ago, and we always like to make effort for our guests. And so when there's a big birthday, we deck the tent out, with the appropriate signage and such like. And luckily, when I was doing my dog walking intervention, I managed to get someone that baked cakes, but not just baked cakes, did birthday cakes, wedding cakes, things like this, a baker. And so Chris, very kindly, when we have a big birthday, bakes a cake for them with their name and all the rest. And poor Sam, when we gave her her cake, she cried. And the reason she cried is she said, of all her 80 years, this was the first time she'd ever had a birthday cake.
Brings tears to the eyes.
Wow. And wow. She was the most effervescent. You know, we have sometimes, we're very fortunate that we have lots of people come to entertain our guests. And none of them charge. They all do it.
What sort
free.
Of entertainment do they offer?
We have Frank. He comes once a month and plays the guitar. We have a funeral director that's also a... it's a co-op funeral director. And he impersonates Elvis. So he comes and does a stint. And especially when we did... I don't know if you heard. We did a collaboration with Arundel Museum, actually. We did a revival Elevenses. So we all dressed up in 50s.
Oh.
Hats. We had Steve came as Elvis. We had a museum lent us all the appropriate things associated to the 50s, like a telephone, like that sort of stuff. It was just amazing. And I have pictures. It's a shame it's not visual. We have everybody dressed up. And, you know, there was even an 80-year-old with a boiler suit on with Goodwood written on it. Honestly, everybody took part. It was just amazing.
We do have, if you are able to supply us with photographs, you can email them if you prefer to do that rather than just physical copies. They can go with the text and whoever's doing the putting together of everything will incorporate those with the text as well, so that they go, when they go on the database eventually, the photographs will be there to illustrate the story you've told.
You'd be absolutely gobsmacked. I must show you one.
I'll just stop.
Well, I thought it would be interesting to how you managed the pandemic.
Yeah, how you managed the project with the pandemic suddenly hitting you, basically. Would you like to mention something about how that gave you time or not, as the case
may
be?
No, because I got very involved with NHS volunteering then, so...
Right.
That went on a back burner because we knew we weren't allowed to have people in, and people weren't going out, in fairness. Everybody
That's
was
true.
At home, so my work was much more important, contacting people on the phone and making sure they were all right. Than, so it actually took a backward step. But never out of mind. It was always something we wanted to do, and we knew on Freedom Day that we would do something.
Yeah. You've got other projects you've spoken about over the phone to me, but would they... Obviously, this is about living with the pandemic in Arundel, but, I mean, we do go to surrounding areas as well. We cover about a 7-mile radius.
Okay.
So would you be involved in anything within that radius as well that might affect Arundel or Arundel's
people?
It's
more for the fact if they're part of the co-op local community, and that's really whoever shops in there. So if they came in and... we help. I've done a lot of work with local... Safe in Sussex, for example, that's a refuge in Littlehampton.
Right.
So we do things once a year. I work with Rita Godfrey. Rita.
No, Rita.
Yeah, so we do, we put together a box that has seeds, pots, and soil. So it gives the people at the refuge the opportunity to do something positive and something with hope, because when you plant seeds, the hope is that you'll get something out of it.
And do you think you might carry that through to the Elevenses people at some point?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, do you know what? We had a gardener come last week, actually, and we talked about lots of things. Yes, we will. She's coming back in July. And it's lovely because people want to come. Okay. And we have just one rule in Elevenses is that you don't speak at our guests. You sit down and mix with them. So okay. The gardener went round and addressed a table. So they feel like they're individuals, not,
yeah.
You know, a lot of people with dementia get spoken at.
That's lovely, thank you. Is there anything else that you'd like to add? But I'm sure you've got lots you can tell us, but anything
well, you were
specific?
You were asking me about things people had said.
Yes.
And while I was telling you about Sam and her birthday, yeah. was because she's been diagnosed with bowel cancer and she has to have an operation on the 23rd of this month. And so she's isolating for 2 weeks. That's what she has to do. And so she rang me and she said, Jackie, I need the bank details. I said, for what? She said, I want to do a monthly standing order to you. Wow. As in 11s, because I don't want you guys to fold while I'm in hospital.
Yeah.
And she is, and every week since she's been away, I always put fresh flowers on the tables. And some of the other volunteers also, Val often brings flowers. And this last couple of weeks, we've been gathering them up and sending them with her neighbour, so she's got something from 11s. To let her know we're thinking of her.
Yeah.
There's David as well. David, he is from Yapton. David was married 60 years and his wife died. He appeared at the tent probably 6 months ago and stood outside and wouldn't come in. And when I asked him, are you okay? He said he's got PTSD. And he said since his wife died, he finds it difficult to enter any new premise. And his wife used to be a ballroom dancer and teach. And so he's got a few hot moves. So he's very popular in 11s, but he comes through and he says to me, he said, Jackie, I go to 3 coffee mornings. And he said, I have to tell you, 11s is the best by far. He said, every Monday I wake up and I think, another Monday without my Junie. Which was his wife, June was his wife. And he said, then I think of 11s and all those happy faces I'll see when I get there. He said, you make a difference to my life. And if that doesn't get you out of bed, I tell you. Honestly, most of the volunteers skip out of there because it's just so heartwarming to get such feedback. It's amazing.
That's lovely. Well, thank you very much. Unless there's anything else you'd like to say, that I think you've covered what we spoke about on the phone, and I wish you the best of luck with it, because it's, well, I can see tea dances coming up, can't you?
There's a lot of things that has happened, honestly. There is. We had Valentine's Day.
A Valentine's Day?
We had Valentine's Day, yeah. We had a Valentine's tree and hearts, and they all made hearts to put on the Christmas. It was a Christmas tree that we decorated with hearts.
Yeah,
and we had, what does it call it? Speed dating. Except it wasn't about speed dating. It was about, if you imagine, 50 or 60 people, then they haven't got a clue where they live, where they come from, have they got families, haven't they got families. So we did.
Oh, right. I'm sure there were lots
Suzanne,
more anecdotes.
Just a bit of fun.
Thank you so much for coming in and sparing your time, because I appreciate you're obviously a very busy lady.
You know what they say, if you want something done, give it to someone who's busy.
They do, don't they?
How long,
thank you.
How long is